putting hundreds more homes at risk of flooding. 14 severe flood warnings are still in force along a 10-mile stretch of the river. The Prime Minister will visit more flood-hit areas today. Last-minute talks to try and divert a second 48-hour walkout by London Underground staff will be held this morning. And London's weather, some heavy rain this morning, moving eastwards. Sunny spells and scattered heavy showers due later. Highs of 8 degrees.
Clean up at the Morrisons cleaning event. 2 kilos of tropical surf washing powder is now just £3. Get it before they're gone. Selected stores was £5.70.
And at the LBC Travel Centre this morning, Andy McColland. Andy, big delays coming into town from the southeast just now.
Oh, yes, I'm afraid so, Lisa. Blackwater on a southern approach going north from the Sunder Sands up towards the Woolwich Road flyover. There was an accident and delays still backing towards at Danston Interchange. Well, I can see in the cameras still partially blocked as well and limping away up towards the tunnel. North Circular queues going west from the Cooks Ferry through towards the Clockhouse Interchange after an accident earlier on. In the last 10 minutes or so, it's been clear. But now, of course, you have the backlog as well and plenty of brake lights you head around towards Bowes Road. Flooding's still a big issue as well. There's no train staying to Windsor and Eden Riverside with the flooding at Datchet. At Paddington, reduced service between the capital and Reading, and delays in services to the west. Flooding also in Oxfordshire, at Somerset, and the damage to the line, of course, in Devon as well. Disruption on southern East Croydon to East Grinstead and Uckfield, the landslip between Woldingham and Oxted. The closures with the flooding as well on the roads. The A308 Windsor Road shut between Runnymede Roundabouts and Priest Hill and Old Windsor. A320 Chertsey Lane is shut between Staines and Chertsey. And Chertsey Bridge also closed between Weir Road and Littleton Lane. Keep London moving. Next travel update is in 15 minutes.
The morning news on LBC 97.3.
Time now fast approaching 6.50. The French President, François Hollande, has arrived in the United States on an official visit. His team's hoping the trip will lift his poll ratings, which are among the lowest ever for any leader of France. Invitations to a formal dinner at the White House had to be reprinted following his recent separation. Amanda Walker has this report from Washington.
Well, the tone of this three-day trip is very friendly, of course, not without a certain degree of scandal and awkwardness. Because of President Hollande's newly single status, all the invitations had been written with the name of his then-partner, the First Lady. Now they've had to be scrapped. They have to make a decision on who sits next to President Obama at dinner. But all of that aside, there really is an emphasis on how good the relationship between the US and France is at the moment, with the US repeatedly referring to France as its oldest ally, particularly in the wake of Britain's refusal to back intervention in Syria. That's really been compounded, certainly by the language surrounding this trip and the language coming from both presidents as well. They did a joint column in the Washington Post and Le Monde newspaper in which they talked about how good the relationship is and how it hasn't been better for years. They had this to say: a decade ago, few would have imagined our two countries working so closely together in so many ways, referring directly there to Syria and also making a point about the fact that things weren't always so good. Of course, when Iraq, the issue there was a real sticking point between the two countries when France refused to back the US-led invasion of Iraq. But if anything now, the roles have switched slightly, with France being much more assertive when you look at situations like Mali, like the Central African Republic, Libya, really France playing quite an assertive role there. In the US, the wide view there is that they're taking a step back when it comes to that sort of intervention. So the trip kicks off with a visit down to Virginia, to Monticello, the home of Thomas Jefferson, the third US president and also a minister to France. That's how it started off, and there will be a series of meetings between the two presidents. They've already pledged in that same joint column to have some kind of firm agreement on climate change. There is a lot of common ground, which we'll hear more about over the coming days.
Amanda Walker there in Washington. Now there's a suggestion a lost generation has given up on ever owning a home. A report's found shortages in affordable housing have led to 4.1 million adults abandoning the dream of owning a property. House prices are so out of sync with wages that compared with 1997, an average earner today would need to be earning over £100,000 more a year to be able to afford a home, for example, in the London borough of Hackney. Well, John Quinn is the campaign's manager at Shelter and joins me now. Morning to you, John.
Morning.
Well, we knew buying a house was out of reach for many, but this is staggering, isn't it?
It is. And today, Shelter have released new figures which show that what wages would be had they gone up as fast as house prices since the late 90s. And the results are astonishing to us. Right across London, average earners would need massive pay rises just to keep up with soaring house prices. And as you mentioned, as high as 100,000 in Westminster and Hackney, and you know, over 50,000 in Ealing and Hounslow. And there's something seriously wrong when you need to pay more than double your pay just to keep up with the rise in house prices.
And yet the government, the local, the government, the local authorities would say they are doing all they can. There's Help to Buy, of course. There's a firm house building programme underway.
Well, we've seen a series of piecemeal schemes from the government, but these have all been a drop in the ocean compared to the scale of the problem and only help a handful of people. The root cause of our housing crisis, we simply haven't been building enough homes, and the small uptick in new homes on the back of Help to Buy is nowhere near enough to address this shortage. At the moment, we're only building around half what we need to, which is pushing rents and house prices up ever more and pricing young people out of the market. I mean, young families are working hard and saving up, but out-of-control house prices have just left many priced out of a stable home. And successive governments just failed to build enough affordable homes. And as a result, our housing shortage has reached crisis point.
London, John, we often talk about it being in a housing bubble, don't we? But what about outside of the capital? Is it just easier to buy a house?
Well, it is, depending on where you are. Our research shows that this is a problem nationwide. There is not one borough or district in the whole of England where house prices have stayed at a relative amount to wages. It is a problem nationwide. But obviously, London is a specific problem in the South East. But the government do need to build more affordable homes, and we can solve this problem. This isn't all a council of doom. It doesn't have to be like this. And if the government meet people halfway and build the affordable homes we need each year, we can deliver enough for people in the future.
When we talk about wages being now so out of sync with house prices, it's really hard to see a way out on that issue specifically. I mean, no employer is going to start doubling people's pay.
No, I mean, I think that's just ludicrous. No one's really expecting to have a £100,000 pay rise. We need to stop house prices spinning out of control and give wages a chance to catch up. We just need to build more affordable homes so that future generations have a chance of owning their own home.
Let's look at some other London boroughs, John. In Camden, people on average wages, they need an extra £73,000 to keep up with house price inflation. A Harrow, almost £41,000 extra needed there.
Yes, and I mean, as I said, it's right across London. Waltham Forest, £40,000. Barnet, around £40,000. Sutton, £37,000. These are huge amounts of money, and we just haven't been building enough affordable homes, and therefore house prices have just got out of control. The root cause of the problem is that there are just too few affordable homes.
And the future for young professionals in the capital, a generation of renters?
Well, unless things change, that could be true. But as I said, you know, this isn't all a council of doom. We can fix this. The government just needs to meet people halfway and build more affordable homes. It doesn't have to be like this forever.
John Quinn there, campaigns manager at Shelter. Thanks very much indeed for your thoughts here on the morning news. This Tuesday morning, now to sport in football, with the rest of the Premier League's top four not in action until tomorrow. Chelsea can extend their lead to 4 points tonight. They are away to West Brom, who are struggling at the other end of the table. Chelsea manager Jose Mourinho says with so many teams battling against relegation, there will be plenty of surprise results.
Everybody has an influence in the race. Every team is fighting for points. Every team is taking points from the big teams. In this moment is the moment where the people that is in the lowest part of the table, they feel the hit and they feel that they need to win matches.
Cardiff aim to rebound from a devastating 3-0 derby defeat to Swansea this evening. They are at home to Aston Villa in the Premier League. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's side go into the match second from bottom. To cricket news, 1 week after his England cricket career came to an abrupt end, Kevin Peterson has started looking to the future. The batsman has signed a new contract to play for Surrey in the T20 Blast competition this summer. And Team GB figure skating pair Stacey Kemp and David King begin their individual campaign over at the Winter Olympics this afternoon. They are also partners off the ice. They're engaged. Kemp tells us what their expectations are in Sochi.
A top 10 finish would be really great for us. So, and as long as we skate the best we can do, we'll be really happy with that.
To the weather now. It's been appalling. We all know that. It's causing misery for many thousands, particularly along the banks of the River Thames. What's the latest, though? Here's weather presenter Nazneen Gaffer.
Thanks, Lisa. A band of rain and strong winds across western parts of the UK will spread eastwards this morning, with some heavy downpours and falling as snow across northern England and Scotland. The rain should clear early this afternoon, so becoming drier and brighter after that, but there will be plenty of blustery showers from the west, turning wintry in the north. Tonight will remain breezy with further showers. More persistent showery rain will spread eastwards across England and Wales, and it will be a chilly night for most areas. Tomorrow, further wet and windy weather will spread in from the southwest and move northwards. With flooding already an issue, the heavy rain will exacerbate the problems. Widespread gales are also expected, with gusts up to 75 miles per hour for southern and western areas, possibly in excess of that across exposed coasts of Ireland, Wales and western England.
The Morning News with Lisa Aziz on LBC 97.3.
Nazneen, thanks very much indeed. The weather, of course, also causing terrible rail disruption in and out of Paddington this morning. And that was the Morning News with me, Lisa Aziz. Remember, you can listen again to the programme. Just go to lbc.co.uk to get the podcast. James O'Brien, he will be here from 10 o'clock this morning. And coming up next, Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
This is LBC 97.3.
Let me tell you about an accident I had. It wasn't nice.
It was quite bad.
It made me feel.
It made him sad.
For £2,000 upfront on all eligible cases, text HH to 660. Hobbs & Hughes, finally, something to feel good about. That's HH to 660. T's and C's apply.
Good morning. At 7 o'clock on Tuesday the 11th of February. The political infighting might be abating, but not so the flooding, and it's going to get worse. We've reports from across the country.
I'm Tom Swarbrick, live in Staines, where the evacuations begin again as the country's war on water continues.
I'm George Painter on the Somerset Levels, speaking to victims of the flooding.
Plus an LBC exclusive, the MOD spies on wounded soldiers to cut compensation payments.
I can't believe the government is questioning the integrity of soldiers.
Checking out the first interview with Sainsbury's boss, Justin King, after he stood down.
One of the toughest challenges of leadership is the decision that you make about the time that you leave.
And making history. LBC becomes Britain's first news talk radio station as we go national across the UK.
On FM, online, on your mobile, and on digital radio. Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
Good morning, I'm Lisa Aziz. More severe weather's forecast, and there's a warning hundreds more homes along the River Thames could be flooded in the coming days. 14 severe flood warnings remain in place along a 10-mile stretch of the river and two for the Somerset Levels. David Cameron will be visiting more flooded areas later today. LBC's senior reporter Tom Swarbrick is in Staines in Surrey, where homes are being evacuated this morning.
Already the rain is coming down heavily here in Staines, with many of the residents along the riverside flooded out. This man is waiting for the waters to come up to his house.
We're prepared for it. We've got bags packed, ready to go if need be. We'll hold out for a bit yet. I wouldn't be surprised if we get a knock on the door today.
A worrying time, clearly.
Extremely worrying, yeah. It's the inevitability of it. It's creeping up and creeping up. It's really stressful.
The police have been going door-to-door here to warn residents. Surrey Fire Brigade say they've evacuated nearly 150 homes along the Thames.
LBC's Michelle Cross is at Reading Railway Station, where just a fifth of services are running into London.
Delays and cancellations are flashing on departure boards here as Network Rail try to continue to fix a signalling problem caused by flooding in Maidenhead. It's disrupting services with around four expected an hour compared to the usual 20.
And we'll be there when the Prime Minister arrives in the southwest later. A final round of talks to try and stop a second 48-hour strike by London Underground underground workers will take place this morning. Tube officials and union leaders will hold further discussions to resolve the row over plans to close Tube ticket offices. Members of the RMT and TSSA unions are due to walk out from 9 tonight. Richard Tracy is the transport spokesman for the London Assembly Conservatives. Speaking to LBC, he says it's time the unions compromised.
Let's just hope that good sense will prevail today, because this strike has been called by only 30% of the membership of both the unions, the RMT and the TSSA, and that is ridiculous, that London is being held to ransom.
LBC has obtained figures that show the MOD has been using private detectives to spy on injured soldiers. Through a Freedom of Information request, we've found they have used them nearly 350 times to spy on personnel making compensation claims against them. LBC's Eleanor Noakes has been looking at the figures.
More than £500,000 has been spent buying in services from six outside companies to spy on service personnel. Nearly two-thirds of all instances of surveillance carried out since 2000 happened before 2005, when the Armed Forces Compensation Scheme was introduced. The MOD insists surveillance should be of no concern.
You can hear what an injured soldier thinks about this with Nick Ferrari at breakfast after seven. Smoking in cars with children inside is almost certain to be banned, with MPs voting overwhelmingly to approve the plan. Conservative and Liberal Democrat MPs joined forces with Labour to approve the ban in England by a majority of more than 3-1. Women at an abortion clinic have been told having terminations can make them more likely to sexually abuse children they may have later. The Daily Telegraph sent an undercover reporter to the Central London Women's Centre, where they were also warned abortions may make them sterile. Experts say the advice is extremely misleading. LBC has gone national on DAB digital radio as the UK's first news talk station. It'll now be known for leading Britain's conversation. James Rea is the station's managing editor.
This is a fantastic moment. LBC has always been a pioneer, the first commercial radio station in the UK, a formidable reputation in London, great presenters, opinionated programmes, and of course it's all about the audience really driving the debate. And from today, the rest of the country will also have the chance to join the conversation.
The weather, a wet and windy start with the rain moving eastwards across the UK. Wintry showers and snow forecast for the Pennines and above. In London, heavy rain this morning clearing eastwards. Sunny spells and scattered showers due later. Highs of 7 Celsius right now at Big Ben. It's 3 degrees. LBC News Time, it's 7:05.
Tick, tock, tick, tock. Your boiler is a ticking time bomb. Your car is a ticking time bomb. Your cat, Monty, is a ticking time bomb. There are lots of things that could break at any minute and cost a fortune to fix. However, simply saving £3 a day means that within a year you'll have over £1,000 to tackle any emergency. For more free and impartial advice, ask Ma. Tick, 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 boom! The Money Advice Service, for advice worth following.
I'm Adam McCall in the LBC Travel Centre. The Blackwood Tunnel sudden approach going north. The queue's actually stacking from the Danson interchange and along the A2. It's after an accident between the Sun, the Sands and the Woolwich Road flyover. Just one lane open. M25 suffering clockwise now. 2 and 3 Junction 5 at Seven Oaks into the roadworks. Queue's the North Circular going west and the Cooks Ferry run towards the Clockhouse interchange after an accident earlier on. Flooding continues to be an issue. There's no train stays to Windsor Eaton Riverside. At Paddington, a reduced service to and from Reading. Flooding also in Oxfordshire, Somerset and the damage to the line in Devon. So big effect there for you. Disruption on Southern between East Croydon and East Grinstead and Arkfield with the landslip between Waldingham and Oxted. The A308 Windsor Road is still shut between the Runnymede roundabout and Priest Hill in Old Windsor. The A320 Chertsey Lane, that's still shut between Staines and Chertsey. That closure widened since yesterday. Chertsey Bridge also shut between Muir Road and Littleton Lane. The A22 remains closed between Whiteleaf and Purley with the flooding. And don't forget, of course, strike action on the Tube, still possible with an early shutdown expected after 9. Keeping you moving, your next travel update is in 15 minutes.
LBC Travel.
With gotomeeting.co.uk. Stay inside and avoid delays by holding your meetings online.
This is LBC, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0845 6060973. Tweet at LBC. Text 84850.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Good morning to you. 7 minutes after seven on Tuesday, February the 11th. And coming up in this hour, with more rain on the way, we've reporters across the country. We're at Staines by the Thames, which has 14 severe flood warnings, which assessment is a risk to life. It will burst its banks again later today. We're on the Somerset Levels, and we're at Reading, where the floods have disrupted rail services. Plus an LBC exclusive, how the MOD is spying on our wounded heroes to slash compensation payments.
They should be trusted men as professional soldiers. I think the government is wrong for doing what they're doing at this moment in time and investigating them with private detectives.
London's Mayor Boris Johnson will be on as the hours count down to tonight's tube strike. And the first interview with Sainsbury's boss and darling of the city, Justin King, after his decision to step down.
I hope the right opportunity will come along. I'll know what it is, and I've got plenty of energy left to throw myself into something new.
And, of course, a welcome to those joining us from around the UK. As you've been hearing, it's a big and exciting moment as LBC becomes Britain's first national news talk radio station. Wherever you are, you can now listen to LBC on national DAB digital radio. We will indeed be leading Britain's conversation. And for those of you who are new, well, this is what we do every day.
Quick, come to me. There have just been three explosions which have ripped through the embassy building.
People are climbing all over the guard towers. People are standing on top of the Berlin Wall.
This is Tony Blair on LBC. I'm taking your calls. And the next call is from Kate in Holloway.
This country would not be able to function without immigrants.
Oh, come off of it, Ian.
No, I not mean, at all. The NHS
you're
would...
in the war, yeah, Ian.
The
NHS... No, you hang on.
The
you're
NHS
the war,
would
Ian.
Disintegrate without
no,
immigrants.
No, it wouldn't.
Radio history as the first senior member of Cabinet to agree to a weekly phone-in show. Nick Clegg, welcome to LBC.
Laura, I can hear you. I can hear one of your children in the background, by the way.
Yes, I know. You probably think what I do is a worthless job.
No.
Bob Crowe. Mr. Crowe, you're through to Mayor Johnson.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I can't sit down and negotiate with you, on air, when you're holding a gun to Londoners' heads.
I do not want a single penny of my taxes to go to you because you're too lazy to get up to do a job at 8 in the morning.
Let's take this crate up to 30,000 feet and see what it can do.
So, welcome to LBC as we begin leading Britain's conversation. Let's talk about these floods. The Prime Minister has been at pains to point out that this is not the time for recriminations. Whatever action might have been taken, that should have been taken, that hasn't been taken, can be examined in the weeks and possibly months to come as the tidy-up begins. We're right at the heart of the storm now. But let's bring Peter Lilly, Conservative MP for Hitchin and Harpenden, who sits on the all-important Energy and Climate Change Select Committee, into this conversation. We've heard the Prime Minister's words, but when we are through all of this, Mr. Lilly, what can be done to ensure we never face these problems again?
Well, only getting things right instead of getting them wrong. Clearly, in the West Country, there was a deliberate policy by the Environment Agency to encourage flooding and to prioritise wildlife over agriculture and human beings. And that's got to change.
Chris Smith, Lord Smith, would say that, in fact, some of those wildlife preserves are actually a form of flood defence, of course, Mr. Lilly. You say he's got that completely round his neck.
Well, I'm sure there's an element of truth in what he says. He's an honest man, but he can be mistaken. And what is certain is that the Environment Agency did stop dredging, and they should resume dredging. They gave priority to creating wildlife. His predecessor actually said she would like to attach a limpet mine to every pump, and that it was easier to create wildlife reserves than any other kind. All you had to do was add water, and that's what happened, I'm afraid, to the tragic loss of the people living there.
We look at the more water that's coming today, and there are increasing reports of people now from all over the country feeling as if they've been effectively left behind. They haven't had enough help. They haven't had any form of local authority help. There's even a suggestion that money should be channeled from the foreign aid budget to help people in this country. Where do you stand on that, Mr. Lilly?
Well, we've certainly got to make the resources available to help people in this dire situation. I think one should actually pay tribute to the efforts of the emergency services of local authorities and indeed of people working at the ground for the Environment Agency. I think they are doing their best. It's very unusual to see such widespread and prolonged rains. It's not unprecedented. It's happened
But specifically the idea... I'm going to push you with this, if I may, Mr. Lady. The £11 billion that goes on our foreign aid budget, some of the spending is indeed questionable. Should some of that money now come back to the UK? Where do you stand on that?
Well, I don't think that you should say that money has got to come from that agency, from that source, in order to help people in this country. There's a commitment by all three parties to meet international...
So just to nail this, then, we continue to help India with its space programme,
well,
but
we don't
help
actually,
our own
no, the,
citizens.
Let's get that absolutely correct. On the 12th of November, 2012, Justine Greening announced the end of aid to India. There are some programmes that had a commitment lasting 2 or 3 years. They will all be over by next year. Mm. So we've ended aid to India. We all previously ended aid to China.
Right. But we're still helping aid to countries such as Mozambique, Pakistan and others, as our own people are effectively washed out of their homes. And you still say that's correct. Just so that we know this, Mr. Lee.
No, you're suggesting that there are alternatives. Of course, charity begins at home.
Okay.
We have to help them, but it doesn't end at home.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much for your input. Peter Lilly, you're on the Energy and Climate Change Select Committee, Conservative MP for Hitchin and Harpenden, 13 after 7. Listening to that, Nigel Wright, Professor of Water and Environmental Engineering at the University of Leeds. And I'd like to bring you, if I may, Professor, straight to the Thames. 14 severe flood alerts, warning of risk of life. We've heard a lot about what should have been done in the West Country. What can you do with a massive body of water like the Thames?
It's probably a similar case as in the West Country. There's a huge amount of rainfall at the moment and a lot of water coming down the river. As Peter Lilly said, a lot of the services responsible, the Environment Agency, local authorities, police, etc., are working very hard to help people. My heart goes out to those people. It's a terrible situation to be in. I would advise them, if the main thing is to keep yourself safe. If you can, move some of your belongings to higher parts of the house, particularly the things that are of dear to you, photographs of family and that sort of thing, which cannot be replaced. And if possible, move your car away from the house to higher ground.
How effective are sandbags and some of the pumps that I've been seeing on the television in actually clearing the water, Professor?
I think they're effective, but by the time the water is getting close to the front of your door, sandbags can keep it away if it's going to be 2 or 3 inches over the level, but if it's more than that, they're ineffective.
I will leave it there, Professor. Thank you. Nigel Wright, Professor of Water and Environmental Engineering at the University of Leeds. We're just hearing now that homes are at risk from Kingston upon Thames all the way to Windsor. We have a series of live reports right after the latest headlines here with LBC.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
With the Financial Times, your trusted guide, whatever the political climate. Every year, 1 in 4 people experience a mental health problem. At LBC, we've teamed up with Time to Change to bring you a special report on mental health. You don't have to be an expert to talk about it. We'll look at how small things can make a difference to someone you know. Listen all week and find out more at lbc.co.uk. It's time to talk. It's time to change.
Seizing opportunities, following your gut. That's what got your company to where it is today. But knowing the right time to sell your business may require a little more forethought than your gut can give. Barnes-Roth can help you identify the right time to sell and devise the best strategy to get your business there. See? Those clever accountants for business strike again. To discuss all your options with a Barnes-Roth partner, visit barnesroth.com/radio.
7:16 news headlines. Lisa Aziz.
More severe weather's forecast and there's a warning hundreds more homes along the River Thames could be flooded in the coming days. To some breaking news, we're hearing from Lancashire Police that an 11-month-old girl has died in Blackburn after being mauled by a dog. More on that as we get it. And latest figures just out from Barclays Bank. Its total bonus pool for 2013 is up. It rose to £2.38 billion from £2.17 billion for 2012 and it includes a £1.57 billion payout for its investment banking staff. The weather, a wet and windy start with the rain moving eastwards across the UK, highs of 7 degrees. This is LBC.
Wonga, 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 all the way. Mr. Wonga, lend me some dough.
The Wonga way.
Make it the simplest song that I'll ever know.
The Wonga way.
Give me 2 choices when I go online.
The Wonga way.
One, how much I want and 2 for what length of time. Mr. Wonga.
Wonga.com.
I come to you when I don't
short-term loan that you control, visit wonga.com. Straight talking money. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Adam McCall in the LBC Travel Centre. Blackwater Tunnel, sudden approach in some serious trouble. Just one lane open between the Sun, the Sands and the Woolwich Road flyover. It's just the one lane after an accident and delays now back to the M25 at Dartford. Queues on the M25 as well. Clockwise to and through the roadworks around Junction 5 at Sevenoaks. And delays the North Circular from the Cooks Ferry round towards Clockhouse Interchange. That's on the westbound side after an accident earlier on. Flooding still causing you problems in the trains. There's no services staying to Windsor and Eton Riverside. At Paddington, a reduced service to and from Reading. Flooding also in Oxfordshire and Somerset. Disruption on southern trains, East Croydon to East Grinstead and Uckfield. For the roads, closures still on the A308, Windsor Road. It's shut between Runnymede Roundabout and Priest Hill and Old Windsor. The A320, Chertsey Lane, shut between Staines and Chertsey. And Chertsey Bridge also closed between Weir Road and Littleton Lane. The A22 also shut between Whiteleaf and Purley because of flooding. And strike action on the Tube is still possible with an early shutdown expected after nine. Check our website for the full details, lbc.co.uk. Keeping you moving. Next travel update is in 15 minutes.
LBC Travel.
With GoToMeeting. Don't be late. Hold your meeting online from anywhere.
Darling, do you remember that man who used to be on the radio for Galliard Homes?
You mean the chairman of Galliard Homes, London's regeneration specialists?
Yes, they have a great new development, Royal Gateway London E16. Looks like a phenomenal opportunity to invest in London.
With uninterrupted views of the river and the Royal Docks.
Stop it, darling. This is an all-private development. The apartments have superb specifications and excellent transport links with Canary Wharf and City Airport less than 7 minutes away.
What about Galliard's unbeatable value with one-bedroom apartments costing from under £250,000, potentially 20% less than the competition?
Darling?
Don't miss this exciting opportunity at our sales weekend on February 14th, 15th and 16th at the Crown Plaza Hotel XL. Call 020 7620 1500 or visit galliardhomes.com. That's galliardhomes.com.
A house fire can take away a lifetime of memories in 2 minutes. About the time it takes to test all your smoke alarms. Fire kills. You can prevent it.
Introducing Pop School by The Times. The brand new music compilation chosen by our leading music writers. A mega mix of the best pop songs of all time. Featuring the top 20 best bands. Vocal performances. Epic love songs. The finest guitar solos. And memorable lyrics. Bringing you the ultimate top 100 in pop. Get your guides to the best of pop music. Free inside The Times today and continuing all this week.
Galliard's Royal Gateway Apartments, 5 minutes from Canary Wharf. Unrivaled specification and views. Unbeatable value from £250,000. Visit galliardhomes.com.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
20 minutes after 7, your opportunity to have your say. We're going to be looking at this idea, which is gaining a degree of momentum. We talked about it last week, of course, the idea we divert some of the £11 billion that's in the foreign aid budget that finds its way to the people in the West Country and to the Thames. Now, normally we give you the newspaper headlines at this time, but this is no normal day with the amount of water coming down, and it is set, I have to tell you, to rain across much of the south of the country again today. And this is exactly what radio was invented for. There's no other media that can bring you the information as quickly. We don't need to worry about getting the pictures in. We don't need to print it on bits of paper. We just tell you here. So keep it on LBC. We'll tell you everything you need to know. And I've mentioned already there are 14, count them, severe flood warnings on the Thames, which means there is a threat or a risk to life. LBC reporter Tom Swarbrick is by the Thames now. Tom, what's happening?
Yeah, Nick, good morning. I'm in Staines-on-Thames, or rather Staines-under-Thames this morning. I'm in a residential area just under the rail bridge where the flooding varies from shin-deep to comfortably waist-deep. There is now the common sight of vans and cars completely abandoned in the road, the water above the wheels. There are also houses here, many of whom have already been evacuated by police who have been going actually door-to-door around the town, warning residents of the severity of the flooding. Some people are staying put for now, but as these residents say, it's only a matter of time. You live in one of the houses down here, and we
Jameson's place.
And we are currently sploshing through what was your street, which is now your personal river, it seems.
No, it's and personal sewer.
Well, yes, and that seems to be one of the problems, doesn't it? It does seem to be coming up from the drains.
It does at further, and just out there, it's the river. It's coming through here. As you can see, it's much higher, and it's just filtering down to the lowest point.
We've got water rising in the front garden for the first time.
We sit back from the road, so we're not looking forward to the rain that's expected because that will wash straight in. So we've got a few inches to spare at the moment, but that's all.
Oh, I see. So you are actually leaving the house tonight?
Yeah, we forecast the rain today, so if it gets worse, yes.
And at what point do you make that decision, then?
We'll see this afternoon. Last time it was half the depth of this a couple of months ago, so now we're into a couple of feet.
There are literally, Nick, waves lapping at these people's front doors, and as you heard from the gentleman there, he's put his table on bricks, he's put his chairs upstairs. Some of these roads only passable in waders, water, as you heard, coming from the river and up from the sewers. Heavy rain forecast for these residents here, I'm afraid. Serious damage is inevitable.
Tom Sorbitt reporting by the side of the Thames. There's stains under Thames, and we'll be going back to Tom later in the show. 23 after 7, a little later than usual. Let me quickly race through the front pages of the newspapers. No surprise that the flooding and the problems, and indeed the political fallout, dominates many of those front pages. The Times, water world, with a picture of Shepperton in Surrey, much of it underwater. The front page of the Daily Telegraph, again a picture of part of the Thames Valley, again underwater, with the headline, "Homeowners, you knew the risk." This is the chairman of the Environment Agency risking further criticism, Chris Smith, or Lord Smith, saying that if you move to an area like this, he's not, of course, wishing it on you, but you might bring yourself or put yourself in harm's way. Meanwhile, the line that we explore with Peter Lilly, the Prime Minister, stop flooding blame game, is the front page of The Guardian. The Daily Mail, a story we'll look at in more detail through the course of the show, and indeed invite your comments. Put UK flood victims first, is the front page of the Daily Mail. The front page of the Daily Express, now thousands facing flood misery. And they've got quite a good picture there. Even Windsor Castle has got a new moat, and there it is. There's even more water around Windsor Castle. The Financial Times has the story on its front page. Smith, as in Lord Smith, says he warned ministers that massive cuts would hit flood defences. Quickly through a couple of the other front pages this morning. The Daily Mirror tells us that Meredith's killer free to study. This is one of the killers of Meredith Kircher, secretly told he can leave prison to study for a history degree. This is Rudy Guaida, who's allowed day release from his 16-year jail term in Italy. And the front page of The Sun tells us that a soldier, one of the soldiers who carried Margaret Thatcher's coffin, is photographed wearing a pink swimsuit, downing beer with two live goldfish in a neck nomination stunt. That is that game that many university students and others, of course, are playing, which seems to be sweeping the country and elsewhere within the last few months. Those are the front pages. Here to reflect on those is Justin King, who's Chief Executive Officer of Sainsbury's. If you're just joining us nationally, we should tell you that Mr. King has been a good friend to this programme down a number of years, and it's great to have you on board on this momentous day. Justin, what's caught your eye? Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Nick. Well, you have to start with the floods. Most of your front pages were on the floods, and you touched on the front page of the Daily Mail, put UK flood victims
yes.
first. But there was a headline inside the Daily Mail that caught my attention, which was "Soundbites Amongst the Sandbags." And it seems to me that's the stage that we've now reached on this. A lot of cheap shops in soundbites, and we're going to need to step back and understand what's really happened and what we can really do about it. I mean, the headline is all about whether we should divert foreign aid. Of course, the government spends over £1 billion every single day on its other responsibilities. So it's really a wider question of how much of all of that money the government spends, it allocates on flood defences, and it does spend a lot. Clearly it needs to spend more, but I don't think any government can prevent some of the flooding we've seen this week.
What about the idea? Where do you stand on taking some? I hear what you say, and I think Sainsbury's are big supporters, aren't they, of the foreign aid budget in the past?
We are, yes, and of course we have a very strong relationship for 20 years with Comic and Sport Relief, and they're probably the most successful organisation at raising funds for investment at home and abroad. Part of the principle of Comic and Sport Relief is that around half the money is spent at home. Charity does bring it home, but it's also spent overseas. I think we can do both. The foreign aid budget, as you've said, I think is around £11 billion. As I said, the government spends in total £1 billion every single day. So it's about the bigger decisions we make around the total budget, not simply picking on one part of the budget for what I think is a soundbite.
All right. Thanks, Justin. You're back with more stories from the papers now. Let's reflect on that LBC exclusive 26 minutes after 7, and we can reveal the Ministry of Defence has been paying for private detectives to spy on injured service personnel. We put in a Freedom of Information request. It showed that almost 350 incidents with the MOD using six different private investigators has cost around £500,000. Put simply, if a soldier comes back with some form of injuries, he or she puts in a claim. In some instances, they put out a spy to see if it's actually justified. Let's speak to someone who has been injured in the course of his duties. Carl Close was 21 when the Land Rover he was in drove over a mine in Afghanistan back in 2007. He had his left leg amputated, his right leg badly injured. His jaw was wired for 6 weeks because it was so severely fractured. He went on to join Bryn and Emma Parry and help inspire the foundation of Help for Heroes. He joins me now. When you hear, good morning, sir. When you hear this story, how do you react?
I was shocked when I heard the story, to be fair, at first. And they're obviously bringing the integrity of the soldiers into disrepute with the claims that they're making.
How easy was it? May I call you Carl? Is that all right? Would you prefer Mr. Clowes?
It's fine.
Carl, how easy was it for you to get and to agree your compensation payment?
It's not easy at all, to be fair. You have to be tell them all your injuries and you're assessed, and then the doctors go through the notes. And to be fair, they're bringing the integrity of the doctors into disrepute as well, because it's them who have the final say and how much you receive.
When blokes like you and women are brave enough to be doing what you do in places like Iraq or Afghanistan, and then you hear back in Britain the MOD are hiring spies, what would that do for morale?
Well, morale would be at the lowest point, I think, there, because you're obviously doing your job, and if you are unfortunate to get injured, then when you come home, it's not just as easy as, you know, getting paid out and doing your rehab. You've also maybe got a spy on you for the next 6 months or however long they're doing it for.
We broke this story, and I know you've been speaking to one of my reporters for a couple of days. You've probably spoken to some of your army pals as well. What are other blokes and women saying, Carl?
Yeah, well, it's a big shock, to be fair. When I've spoke to people as well, they didn't know either, and then obviously they've done their research and found out it's true. From LBC, that was the first I'd heard as well, and everyone is really shocked, and not one person is happy about it, if I'm honest with you.
And lastly, to the people who dreamt up this idea, the people who pay the spies or private agencies, or even the people themselves, what would you say, Carl, as an injured war veteran yourself?
Yeah, I think it's below the belt, hiring these private detectives, and it's probably the taxpayers' money, so I'm sure if we did a vote through the taxpayers, if they'd want to pay for it or not, I'm sure that 100% of them would say no and that it should be scrapped.
Privileged speaking with you. Thank you, Carl Clowes. You served in the No. 4 Logistics Support Regiment before that devastating accident back in 2007. Coming up after the news here on LBC, your opportunity to get involved in a conversation about the flooding and the political fallout and the idea of siphoning off money from the foreign aid budget. Plus, London Mayor Boris Johnson coming on. We're counting down the hours now to the next tube strike. Is there any possibility of a peace deal? Red faces for the Blue Army of Barclays after sensitive figures are leaked in our regular city report. Oh, and talking of the city, darling of the city, Justin King, the boss of Sainsbury's, is with me. What job might he move on to? We might put that question to him as well after the news here on LBC. You're listening to me, Nick Ferrari, 7:30, news time, Lisa Aziz.
Experts are warning parts of the UK could be at risk of flooding for another 2 months. It's because of record-breaking levels of groundwater. Hundreds more homes along the River Thames could be flooded in the coming days, with 14 severe flood warnings still in force. An 11-month-old baby's died after being mauled by a dog in Lancashire. The girl was taken to hospital in Blackburn last night. A man and woman in their 20s are under arrest, and the dog's been seized by Lancashire Police. Last-minute talks to try and stop a second 48-hour strike on London Underground get underway this morning. As it stands, RMT and TSSA union members will walk out at 9 p.m. in a row over ticket office closures and job losses. The amount Barclays paid out in bonuses rose to £2.38 billion in 2013. That's up from £2.17 billion in 2012, despite a fall in profits. Yesterday, the bank revealed pre-tax profits of £5.2 billion in 2013, a third down on the previous year. The FTSE 100 will start the day at 65.91 after closing up 19 points yesterday. And the weather, a wet and windy start with the rain moving eastwards across the UK. Wintry showers and snow forecast for the Pennines and above. In London, heavy rain this morning clearing eastwards, sunny spells and scattered showers due later. Highs of 7 Celsius. Right now, at Tower Bridge, it's 6 degrees. LBC News Time, it's 7:32.
I'm Adam McCall in the LBC Travel Centre. Blackwater Tunnel, sudden approach in some serious trouble. Just one lane open between the Sun, the Sands and the Woolwich Road flyover. It's just the one lane after an accident and delays now back to the M25 at Dartford. Queues on the M25 as well. Clockwise to and through the roadworks around Junction 5 at Sevenoaks. And delays the North Circular from the Cooks Ferry round towards Clockhouse Interchange. That's on the westbound side after an accident earlier on. Flooding still causing problems in the trains. There's no services staying to Windsor and Eton Riverside. At Paddington, a reduced service to and from Reading. Flooding also in Oxfordshire and Somerset. Disruption on southern trains, East Croydon to East Grinstead and Uckfield. For the roads, closures still on the A308. Windsor Road, it's shut between Runnymede Roundabout and Priest Hill and Old Windsor. The A320, Chertsey Lane, shut between Staines and Chertsey. And Chertsey Bridge also closed between Weir Road and Littleton Lane. The A22 also shut between Whiteleaf and Purley because of flooding. And strike action on the Tube is still possible with an early shutdown expected after nine. Check our website for the full details, lbc.co.uk. Keeping you moving. Next travel update is in 15 minutes.
LBC Travel.
With GoToMeeting. Avoid those delays by meeting online from anywhere.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
With the Financial Times. For those who value independent thought.
Hello, I'm Nick Ferrari. Thanks for listening to LBC. Tomorrow, we'll be switching from this digital channel to the National Digital One platform. Don't worry, nothing else is changing, but you will need to take a few seconds to press the retune button on your digital radio to receive us. Now leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
An empty property is a vulnerable property. So if you own a small business and your building is vacant out of hours, get peace of mind with Ward Security. Ward offer an affordable spot check and patrol service, ensuring your premises is safe with no signs of intrusion. They'll even unlock your building prior to staff commencing work, or carry out an internal patrol and lockdown at the end of the day. Don't compromise what's important. Talk to Ward Security right now. See wardsecuritypatrols.com.
Mary nervously sat down in the dentist's chair, clinging to it, like she'd just woken up in the middle of a bobsleigh race. As the seat lowered, Mary opened wide and squinted into the eye-watering light. But as the dentist leant in, she let out a teeth-rattling sneeze. Mary didn't get a lollipop. If only she'd had her pocket pack of Kleenex balsam, she could have caught that dental deluge in our most soothing tissue. Where's your Kleenex when you need it?
This is LBC, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0845 6060 973.
7:35, our regular conversation about finance in just a second. We get into more reports from around the country as the rain continues to fall and we hear from Justin King, the chief executive of Sainsbury's. But weather is all important, so let's get a quick word on the weather. Phil Garner is a meteorologist with WeatherQuest, joins me now. I'm hearing that there's more rain to come today, tomorrow, and possibly right through the weekend as well. Phil, how accurate is that? Good morning.
Well, it is, Nick. Just bands of rain pushing through from the west. We've got one at the moment just to the west of London. Some quite heavy rain sweeping through the area, I think, towards the end of this morning. But then it's brighter again this afternoon. Tomorrow, we've got yet another band coming through for tomorrow afternoon. And then Thursday is a bit of a respite before yet another band of rain and some strong winds comes through on Friday. So really, it's not letting up at all at the moment.
And is this nationwide, or is this pretty much sitting across the south, lastly,
no,
Phil?
No, it's nationwide. I think in some ways we're actually getting away with some better conditions than other parts of the country. For example, northern England tomorrow, southern Scotland, gale-force winds, a real battering, and some even heavier rain across northern Britain. So it may seem pretty poor in this part of the world, but other parts are getting it even worse.
Phil Garner, thank you. You're a meteorologist with WeatherQuest. Of course, we're watching every single part of the country now here on LBC. Thank you for that. 7:36 to finance. David Buick is with Panmure Gordon. He's kindly come into the studio. It's great to have you on board. Red faces for the Blue Army, David.
I think that's probably right. Good morning, Nick, and many congratulations on being a national radio station.
Thank you.
It's richly deserved.
Yes, it's the company that's put in the money. I'm just sitting here saying it, so well done to them, really.
Barclays, we heard the pre-tax profit yesterday because of this piece of lowlife who let this appalling information out, supposedly, that may have affected 27,000 people who've got accounts with Barclays. I don't think the financial damage is bad, but it's still trust, and it's very sad. Pre-tax profit of £5.2 billion for the year. Net profit, 540 million. It's rather more than the 240 rather parsimonious amount that was originally forecasted. But we have got huge contingencies of about £2.9 billion. I don't think I need list them, need I? LIBOR, PPI, so on and so forth. Legal fees, battles with the regulatory bodies in New York, so on and so forth. But there's quite an upbeat comment from Anthony Jenkins saying, we know that we're in a difficult place, but we feel we've got things going again. The market took the news yesterday quite well. The shares were up 1.3% at about 275p. I'm a big fan of Barclays, the way they're trying to recover. I have a slight cumulonimbus cloud that's worrying me, that they are cutting back on their investment banking, which has given them 40 to 60% of their profits. I think it's a pander to the old lady of Threadneedle Street, the government and the Treasury, saying, Governor, we get the message. But to cut your balance sheet by $150 billion, fairly grown up, I wish them well in their quest to find other ways of making money.
And Barclays, a massive component of the UK banking industry, and Sir Richard Lambert has been talking about this and the whole how the industry goes forward, isn't he, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, Sir Richard Lambert is a very, very august, highly intelligent, university-like person, as an editor of the FT, as president of the CBI. But this is a quango we do not need. Unless
you're talking about the Banking Standard Committee.
The Banking Standard Committee, yep. Which he is now chairman of, he says he doesn't want any bankers on it, which means to me that the banks are not going to pay for it, and they should pay for it. Because if you want to get standards improved, and they have to be improved, I've got no problem with the idea. But when you list out the FCA, the Bank of England, the Parliamentary Banking Standards Committee, the Vickers Independent Banking Commission, and so on, if that lot together can't sort this out, by all means have Richard in a very, very, Sir Richard in a very senior capacity, but the last thing we need is extra quangos. We just don't need them.
A couple of results quickly, if you would.
Yes, just to say, Thomas Cook's up with the trading statement, done tremendously well. Harriet Green, what a star. You know, almost...